Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope.
Like, you're going to die someday, right?
Would I like to be in the hospital right now rather than be here? Yes. Have I ever thought about that? Yes, right now. I'm thinking about hospitalization.
And the Bulldog.
I've thought about it a few times. There's been a few times, like right now, where I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack and die. I'm here!
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Like, I'm over here and I'm doing what I just did, but it goes badly. And, like, I bang the table, and then, like, I just look at you and, like, I can't breathe, and you're on the air.
Yeah, I know. I've thought about it. Like, I know exactly what I would do.
Four start talking about
simple words. I on fantasy.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
We were talking about that Red Sox game that we didn't know maybe was happening today. But I think we had what Joe just mentioned was the resumption of a suspended game that the Royals and Red Sox played, which was 4-4. This is one of the weirdest things about sports. Like, how this still happens. They had a game, it was 4-4, maybe the ninth inning, and they suspended it because it was raining and it was not going to stop.
Yeah.
Then the Royals might have had a game in another city the next day.
Yep, that's what happened. And they waited a long, long time to decide to just call it that night. Like, they made everybody wait around, even though the weather, the forecast, the radar indicated, look, it's not going to stop raining for like 3 hours. But they waited anyway in case they found a window to finish up the game.
Because they knew if they didn't, they would have to, what, pick it up at another time. Like, Kansas City would have to fly back into Boston.
Right.
And that's what ended up happening today. So they go back to Boston. The Red Sox win in the 10th. And then they leave. Like, did the Royals just play the 10th inning in their airport clothes?
Right.
Did they actually even get into uniform for that?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, who on the Royals would have not preferred, just take it, Boston?
Oh, God.
Just take it.
Right.
We don't need to go. We don't want to go back there for like an hour. That's ridiculous. There's 162 games. We're awful. Go ahead. Come on. But you can't do that, right? They won't let you just forfeit the game.
I thought, I don't know, I thought when it happened that might have been an option. Like, if the game isn't going to matter, can we push it back to the end? Will there be time at the end?
Yeah.
If it does matter, then fine. Like, if Boston somehow turns their 5% playoff chance into they're alive at the end and they need a result in this game, then, okay, Kansas City, get on a plane, get over here. You gotta finish this game because Boston could make the wild card or something.
That could happen. That does happen sometimes when a game is just rained out, like it isn't even started.
Right.
So they'll only play it if they need to play it. But man, that's tough. We already know how tough these guys' lives are.
Yeah.
And now to have to go to Boston for half a day.
Yeah. The Red Sox
not fun.
Travel to San Diego to begin a series tomorrow.
Oh, really?
So today they'd be traveling, right? I assume they wrap this up and are getting on a plane and heading.
They
for
just
California.
They've been home to play the Phillies,
right?
They waited the extra day to play the Royals,
yeah,
and then now they're off to San Diego,
right? Yeah. And I don't know. I'm just checking here. I want a curiosity. Schedule's not.
Royals
loaded.
Are in Cleveland.
They're
tomorrow.
In Cleveland. Okay, so that's not terrible. It's reasonably close, but still, it's not. Yeah,
they were in Baltimore, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
And now Boston today, Cleveland tomorrow.
Hmm. Tough life.
Tough life. I ran a poll on Twitter like a month or two ago, just a random moment. I don't think I was at work when I thought of it. Just a dumb thing. Who is likelier to be on the team at the beginning of the season, LeSean McCoy or Rasmus Ristolainen? And the other day we were just sort of discussing how, by the way, I'm sure a lot of Sabres fans are acutely aware of this and maybe are always thinking about it, but Ristolainen is still on the Sabres. Like, there was no Jeff Skinner trade in the beginning of August or O'Reilly trade on July 1. This is still the situation.
Yep.
And by the way, as we know, So is McCoy. And the season is coming up. Mm-hmm. The third preseason game is tomorrow. There's no particular speculation about him that I'm aware of.
No. No, it's really quieted down. I feel like when camp began, it was a talking point. And like I don't know. I guess I could choose to still like be banging the drums, but it sort of it doesn't feel like I should be. Like I still want to stand up for Ristolainen trade making sense, and it should happen, needs to happen, and maybe even probably will happen. I'm not feeling the same way about McCoy anymore, but it just sort of feels to me like okay, he's on the team.
Well, this discussion that we had yesterday. And a lot of people, I think, are having around the league is like about the preseason, the state of the preseason, and how teams are not even really bothering like they used to. Like even last year's teams did with this third game. Tomorrow is the third game, and you know a lot of teams seem to be taking it very lightly.
Oh yeah,
more like they take the other games.
It's another round today of coaches talking about how they just don't really need it. The Philadelphia coach Peterson, there's a Pro Football Talk story that says, I prefer joint workouts, the joint practices. We get more done. Sean McVay, there's too much risk for the Rams. There's no reason for us to do it.
Couldn't the Royals have gone with that?
Too much risk.
It's just too much risk in it.
You're asking us to fly again?
Right. For one inning? Or however many innings? Like right, it's right. Just guys right. Could get hurt.
Like every day here this summer, it just feels like there's – you don't have to really search hard to find someone who's telling you these games don't matter to us. We're not really using them as any kind of a tool at all. We'd rather do something else than this. But here we are. You're selling tickets, so we're going to go to these games. Not going to play any of our guys, but we're going.
Well, one thing that can lead to is so if the point is I don't want my starters hurt, one reason to think maybe LeSean McCoy would be traded is that somebody else's starter could get hurt. And that can happen lots of different ways. It doesn't have to. You don't need a preseason game for that. But just if teams are not going to use their starters even in this game, then it's just another way that teams are going to avoid having that injury.
Right. So if that's your avenue for a trade, like maybe the Bills aren't even actively hoping to trade LeSean McCoy. But if something happened elsewhere in the league and some team called and made them an offer, then okay, well, you know what? That's too good for us to turn down, and we've got a lot of guys. So, yeah, we should do this.
So, let's I guess I'm just I'm assuming, maybe I don't want to assume it, but I'm just thinking that, like, there isn't going to be this trade.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll have cuts. You know, they have 90 guys or whatever, and they're going to go to 53 after next week's game against Minnesota. So, like, a lot of the team, of course, will be cut, and that could affect, I don't know, could it affect McCoy? I would think not, but Gore or Yeldon, not Singletary. Certainly, everybody after that is at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe likely to be cut. Except for cuts, you know. What are we going to be seeing? Like when the season starts, if McCoy is on the team, do I want to assume? I think I do that he starts
mm-hmm.
in week one.
Yeah.
And what else would you assume about that?
You mean about the
opener,
the depth of the position, or what?
Yeah, the opener. What are you expecting?
Okay.
Them to be at running back in 2 weeks.
I guess right now, if I had to, like, you know, I guess it's kind of what I'm doing. I'm not exactly writing it down, but this, you know, someone could be recording this. It'll go on the website eventually. McCoy, Gore, Singletary, and somebody else. Maybe not Yeldon. Like, to me, Yeldon is not a cinch, even though he's the pass catcher. Maybe they don't value that enough. Maybe they think Singletary or McCoy can get that done for them if they want to. And so I think right now I would bet on Yeldon being the odd man out and some other guy who plays special teams being a fourth running back, and they keep DeMarco, and that's your position. So, like, it's never been completely nuts to me that they would keep four. I just never have thought that they would keep those four, including Yeldon. Like, Yeldon, Singletary, Gore, McCoy, none of those four give you anything on special teams, and I think that puts the lowest guy on that ranking at risk, and to me, that's Yeldon right now. So if that were right, then Marcus Murphy or Sonoris Perry make the team. And depending on week to week, maybe they're not even dressed. Depending on what numbers they have at other positions that can also contribute on kick coverage, like that kind of thing, then that guy is – that's who that guy is. That guy is a more of a utility knife than any of the other four, and therefore he outranks the fourth guy in the pecking order, who right now, again, to me, is Yeldon. So I would bet on that right now.
Do you think it matters – I don't know the answer to this. Do you think it matters that Yeldon is on a two-year contract?
Probably not.
It's not for much money, and that would mean there would be a cap penalty, right?
I don't know what kind of guarantee they gave him. I would imagine they gave him some money up front with a two-year contract, but I would think it's modest. So I would think they have no hesitation to make that move for football reasons only. I don't think the money is going to be a problem.
Do you think that it's a lock that Gore isn't cut?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I would tend to think so, but I just don't really understand what they're going for there. I just don't really understand what they're going for there. Gore doesn't exactly complement McCoy stylistically. Mm-hmm. You know, McCoy, like any running back, would need breaks, but do you not trust the rookie for that? Like, do they, as we've talked about, you know, in different ways over the course of the summer, like, do they see the rookie as more of a developmental player? Because that doesn't seem right. I mean, that shouldn't need to be the case.
No.
And then Yeldon is here too, and they did sign him for 2 years, expecting what? What have they expected to have happen that has not happened? If it's anything.
Maybe a significant marketplace for LeSean McCoy.
That's just so bad, though. Like, see, I mean, I think Bean has been pretty shrewd about building the roster. And I want to think he sort of understands, if not agrees with, the whole running back climate, like that he would kind of get it. But, and I mean, I think somebody who does can rationalize Frank Gore on the roster because, you know, he's almost a legend,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you could still rationalize that and think that there's value in Gore as a player, but more than that. Like that's kind of what the Bills have demonstrated also. So I just can't seem to reconcile like Bean operating the way he has and him thinking that McCoy has real value. Now, he would know
mm-hmm.
from talking to teams around the league what kind of interest there would be
yep.
in McCoy. And, you know, I would only assume that he's paying attention to those conversations and then would, you know something that maybe I'm missing. But I don't see McCoy as really having value. I mean, a lot of the running back thing is just, look how replaceable they are. Why do I need to pay them? Why do I need 32 years old? Like, why would I even want that? If I lose my guy, what are the chances I'm going to see him as an upgrade? That maybe I would. Some teams probably yep. would, but a lot of teams wouldn't. You know, now you have holdouts and you have people like Tony Pollard, who you probably had never heard of, that is now Dallas's running back until Elliott walks in. And all Dallas can do is tell you how impressed they are with Tony Pollard, right? And I know what that is. That's what teams do. They always talk everybody up like that. They maybe they mean it, and maybe they don't. But the rest of the running back point is that there's seemingly a pretty good chance they could go into real games with him
mm-hmm.
and not, you know,
not
get
trade
killed
for LeSean McCoy because Ezekiel Elliott's holding out.
They shouldn't get killed because right. they don't have Ezekiel Elliott. Like, it shouldn't even really matter that much. You know, not everybody agrees with that. So, I don't know. Like, what am I missing? What have the Bills not had happen that they expected to have happen? And maybe there will still be something in the next 2 weeks, but we're getting to the second half of the preseason here, and I don't have a situation in the league that I know of where I would think the Bills could capitalize. And see, I think they're probably happy to have the options and the depth that they have. And that's what they've also kind of built here.
They probably are, but if you go with those three, forget about the fourth guy, whether I'm right about speculating about Yeldon being at risk and like a special team guy, like that guy probably isn't going to matter to what you're doing week to week at running back. If he matters at all, it's going to be barely. I think even if it's Yeldon, like Yeldon might get on the field and catch some passes. That's the best. That's the high mark, I think, for that fourth guy. The other three, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you're not doing it right by all three guys' accounts, I think, if they're all here. I just don't know that there's enough time to get the young guy on the field if you're trying to keep Frank Gore happy. Frank Gore seems to want the ball 500 times every year. Like, that's his reputation. Like, he wants every rep in practice. So I'm imagining on game day, he's standing on the sideline with his helmet on, constantly waiting for the coach to say his number.
But he can't be expecting any kind of role like that.
No, but still, like, that's like you want to keep him happy, I think, to an extent. You don't want to just have him on your team and have him not matter at all. And the same goes with McCoy. So I don't know how you're really going to slice the pie up there. You run the risk of, I think, not getting the young guy on the field, and I think that would be a mistake.
Maybe this really needs to start with what you think McCoy can do and what the Bills think he can do. And if it isn't obvious or if it hasn't been said, you and I tend to think, I know myself, like, I just doubt that there's a lot there. I mean, I think Singletary is almost definitely the only one of these guys that you could ever consider dangerous. And he might not even really be dangerous, but certainly, relatively speaking, I think he is.
Right, on draft night, they said he's not a home run hitter.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that was in his bio, basically. Like, he's not a home run hitter.
Slap hitter?
Like, that's a little weird.
Everybody's a home run hitter now at Bulldog.
Right.
You can't say that anymore. Do you watch baseball when you're in Canada? They have baseball
on
your TV there.
I'm so confused.
But I know. Like, if you think McCoy is, like, the Bills have said every time that they think, what they often say, have said through the offseason about him is in their way, they say, well, we don't think it was all his fault,
mm-hmm.
which is not really saying anything. It's right. Kind of how they usually do
I agree. I don't think it was all his fault.
No, nobody would.
Right.
Nobody talks like that.
Right.
It's just they talk like that. Well, we don't think it was all his fault. I don't either. Was he good? No. Do you expect him to be really good? The kind of good that would mean you don't need other significant options as you go into your season? I mean, they act like they don't think that because of what they've done with the roster.
Right.
So, and I would agree with them. But it's still now, like, as we come up on it, what do they think, what do they plan on doing in games? I want Singletary dressed because I think he is almost by a margin the one guy here who can, like, really make a play that you could just be like, you know, with a shocking
right.
kind of play and just, you know, help you win. McCoy, I don't know. Like, I don't see him. It is just a guess, but it's a guess based on history and recent history and the player where he's been in the last couple of years. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. This whole thing, it starts at it. I'm not optimistic about a LeSean McCoy bounce back, even with better play up front and even with a better passing game. I'm just not expecting that. I think he might still be okay, but what's the point of that? You know, like, the point of Singletary is it possible that he's better than that? Like, guys show up in the league all the time that are even less renowned than him, that are better than just okay. So I'm going to want to take him for a spin in case he can be something that can be dangerous. And I don't think anything about McCoy, or certainly Gore or Yeldon even, in their careers right now tell me that these guys are going to be, they're dangerous. Like, they hit a seam and look out.
The last I heard from Sean McDermott, I believe, the other day, was that McCoy and Gore would both play in this game, right? Am I right about that? I believe I heard that.
Sure.
So
I don't believe him.
You don't?
No.
Is that why Matt Patricia can't tell us if Matthew Stafford will play, because he has to talk to Sean McDermott first?
Maybe, sure. It wouldn't surprise me at all Friday night if the Bills follow suit with what it looks like the trend in the league is, and that people are resting everybody for this third preseason game as opposed to the opposite, playing them into the third quarter.
Okay, I'm fine with that, and they're watching practices and I'm not. And I just wonder what kind of information they think they have on McCoy and or Gore that would be important into like finalizing what they do. You know, like one of them looks amazing. If McCoy looks amazing, they know that, and they're banking on that, and yeah. I don't.
Right.
And so what we're going to have at the Jet game is he's going to have 21 carries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's
– yeah.
That might even be – whether he looks that way or not, that's probably the likeliest scenario, isn't it? That he's the running back of the Bills like he's always been for that game.
Yeah, I think that's the likeliest scenario.
And, you know, the other guys get – 3 or 4, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How many do you actually have in a game? You know, we'll see how it goes. But
right. I mean, I don't know. Am I way in front? Then maybe I get to 35 carries in the game, all told.
You if
know,
they're way in front, guys. Then it's all just sort of an asterisk because right. You're just automatically going to run
but
the ball.
But if you're playing a normal, close game, yeah, I don't know, 30 carries probably. Tops.
Tops. Maybe not for them, but for me. Yeah, yeah. Tops. All right. Well, like, just, you know. Nothing really has been settled
yet.
Yeah,
I guess.
The games aren't doing anything of value as far as we know, and that might continue. That's the trend. So if the Bills are with the trend, that will continue. We will just go through the paces in these next two games and not play anybody who could make the team and matter. So that won't tell us anything. Nobody's injured and interested. There's no speculation at all about anything, right, that I know of. So we're nowhere in terms of figuring that out.
Right.
Nowhere new.
Right. So, you know, what does that all mean? I mean, I don't know. I could be in a situation here where, you know, I told you yesterday, I get up every day thinking about, or the day before, I get up every day thinking about a Ristolainen trade. I'm not thinking about a McCoy trade. That doesn't mean one couldn't happen. Or that they could just look at their players and go, and looking at practice and go, we don't need this guy here.
There have been a couple of injuries. But teams have done other things. Signing guys is what they've done. Deontay Foreman, who then got hurt, and the Colts signed someone else. Theo Riddick with Denver, you know, like, but role players, not even.
Right.
Tampa is always a team. Tampa, I don't think, has an injury, but it would have happened by now, I think. It would have happened by now. The Bills can't want much.
No.
And
that's
teams
right.
wouldn't mind paying that, probably paying that price, but. I mean, I think the Bills, I said this too, and this is important to just kind of lean on. They're going to like having, they do, I'm sure, like having the depth that they have and the options that they have. And so if you're talking about a late draft pick, to them, I mean, at least perhaps evidently, to them, it's just not worth it. We'll just keep them and pay them and we'll figure it out. We'll go. I think, you know, that's probably what has happened here. That doesn't tell us what his workload week one is.
No.
In that kind of world, it could be he's the bell cow in that game like he's been for the Bills, or it could mean some new reality. 803-0550, the Bills are running back. Today, Evan Silva, long time with Roto-World, one of the more well-known, prominent fantasy writers. And he's got a new website, establishtherun.com, where it's not just fantasy, it's DFS, and that's fantasy, all kinds of different strategy and matchups and angles. So looking forward to having Evan Silva on today. We'll talk to Sal, I think, too, once he gets to Detroit. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
whenever I'm called on, whether it's a preseason game, a regular season game, just the other day, coach is like, hey, we need you to go play this position. And so just went and did it. I knew I could do it. I was capable of doing it. I think that's the key of winning games, to be unselfish. You got to try to put your team first, whatever it takes to win, whatever position it is. It may be a little bit uncomfortable for you at first, but you go do it with a good attitude, and then you get good results off of it. And ultimately, it's not just me doing that. It's going to be guys just willing to put in whatever it takes to help this team win games.
Zay Jones, we're talking about Bills as the season comes closer. What, 17 days? 2 weeks until the league opener, Green Bay at Chicago.
Right.
And that's our fantasy draft night.
Yep.
That'll be my seventh between today and then.
I gotta update my stuff.
What does that mean?
I've used RotoWire.
Yes.
So I have like a season long news app, and then there's a draft app.
Yes.
And I have not yet downloaded the new version of the draft app.
Okay.
But I will. I've got time. I'm off after today. I'll do all my work.
Tune in next Tuesday when Jeremy and I do each other's shows.
As yeah,
you
I saw
are off
that.
And that's, Howard's off.
Yeah, that's a nice little thing you're going to do.
Together.
Then. Yeah, right. You're going to do two hours in the morning with him, and he'll do two in the afternoon with you. That's nice.
Yes.
Good for you.
Fantasy-centric.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah. In fact, the draft I have tonight is one that you have a part in, even though you're not in the league.
Oh, really?
Say Cheese Flash Mob Draft.
The Flash Mob Draft. Yes, I love
two
that.
2 years ago. 2 years ago was really when I started to get obsessed.
Yep.
3 years ago, I played in a couple.
Mm-hmm.
4 years ago, I played in one. So 2 years ago, I started to get obsessed
with it. You got obsessed, and one day we were just in here talking like this, and you were like, I want a draft. I want another draft. We should do a draft. I want to do a draft tonight.
Right.
And I said, okay, yeah, Flash Mob draft. You should do it. I didn't take part, but you just got a group together literally from like 4 o'clock in the afternoon to like 7:30.
Who was the guest? Was it Sigmund? Who was the guest? We had a guest on that day, and I asked them, do you think we can pull this off? And like, it'd be tough, but
I don't remember maybe. Who the guest was.
No. Somebody.
But I just loved, that's how Flash Mob Fantasy League sounded. I just liked the way it sounded. So,
and I don't like goodbyes. I don't let go.
So this is the Flash Mob
League. So I didn't want
league.
This league to just be one and done.
Right. So it's the league that started as the Flash Mob League, but it's really not a Flash Mob anymore. You guys all know you're coming to draft, so it's not just being thrown together momentarily.
Everybody who's been in it has been invited back.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, if people, I don't know how this is supposed to, I don't know protocol on this. Like, I asked this on Twitter like a month ago. You want, so we have this group. And it's a good group. And so it's not like my most important league or anything, but I like it. I like tonight. I like these people. So let's go. And I send I don't know all of them very well, though. So I send the email out like in June or something, or want to play?
Mm-hmm.
Let's pick a date. We'll pick a format. What do we want to do? Everything like that. And a few people a couple people didn't respond. And so I'm like, how hard do I want to work at finding them and getting a response from them? I kind of feel like this is two things. Like, I want to say, if you want to play enough, like badly enough, you're going to, you know, get right on it. You're going to volunteer and make sure that the commissioner knows
might
that you're in.
Might even reach out to you like, hey, I haven't seen an email yet.
Right. Anything like that.
Right.
But it also, it isn't, I recognize that not everybody is like me in this area, and a lot of people don't care about fantasy football out until August, you know?
Right.
It's just not something they care about or think about ever.
In June, they might do with an email like that what I do with most of my emails, which is see the header on it and just delete it without even opening it.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know. Paul has sent through the ESPN, that's where our league here is through, every now and then I get things and I just, if it's the wrong time of the year, I don't even look at it. Because like, what? I don't care. Oh, you've made changes. What? I'll find out in September. I don't want to know now. It's May. I don't give a crap.
But I am one of those people, too, that like, I'm all over it. I can't help myself.
Yeah.
Should we make it half point? Should we make it 18 rounds? Should we add kickers? Should we remove defenses? Should we make it tight end premium? Should we go super flex?
Right.
Should we go auction? I mean, that's just top of my head.
Right.
And I want answers.
But so how hard do you want to work back to that? Like, how hard do you try to make sure those people know? Because there's all kinds of ways you can miss. I've missed emails that qualify as important. And I'm pretty, not, you know, I know I just said I delete. So I look at everything, though. Like, I don't just clean house without checking what it is. But we've got this filter at work that pulls stuff out.
Yes.
So people might miss stuff that way.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've missed important hockey stuff about, you know, stuff for Owen, dates and places and times. And like, I'm on top of all this, I think, but I missed it.
Yeah,
so
right.
You could easily miss an email from you about a fantasy draft.
But this is where, like, that's really why it's a question. Because this is where, what is the person's responsibility to make sure they don't get left out? Because you have some. Ultimately, it's your responsibility to make sure you're still included if you want to be.
Yep.
If you don't, then you don't. It doesn't matter. But, like, ultimately, that's up to you. And if your emails get snagged or something, or you have a new account or a new phone number, and you never get around to, you never think of getting in touch with me in this case, then you're gonna get stuck.
I would if I were you.
I don't feel good about that.
I would send out the one thing, and then if there's two or three people that don't respond, I would try to contact them again, and then leave it at that.
Like, that's what I did.
Like, I've got it, and if you don't hear back that time, then I think you've got. If they do eventually reach out to you, like, hey, what happened? I never saw anything. Like, look, I emailed you two different times and I never heard back, and so we moved on.
That's right.
And I think that's reasonable.
I do too. There's also, you know, if you have this, you have a league, and it's the communication part, like setting it all up, and this part we're talking about. And then there's just, I don't know, I don't have an example ready. Somebody does a thing in the course of the season that you really don't want to have happen in your league. Maybe it's like, really kind of bad-mouthing someone else on the message board or something like that. Something that you just really don't want. But it's not against the rules or anything. It's just sort of not what you really want for your league. You know, I have a tough time with this, and maybe I shouldn't. Yesterday we were talking like this too, right? Yes, like sort of commissioner protocol. Like, I don't really want to kick anybody out. I don't want to have to do that. And I don't want to have to, you know, like just, I don't want to do that. So I wonder if there is some sort of a standard that anybody who has been in the league is welcomed back unless they broke a rule, you know, unless something obvious happened. We were talking about collusion yesterday,
right.
Something like that. And I guess I tend to be like more just sort of easygoing about that. But I do think about it. And, you know, ultimately, everybody's back if they want to be back. But you have to reach out. If you haven't heard from me, you know.
Right.
There must be some reason.
So did you get is the entire
flash
mob?
There were a couple changes.
Yeah.
There was one guy I didn't hear from at all, and then a couple guys said they were done with it.
Okay.
Fine, you know, but
right.
We filled it back up.
All right.
That's the night. I made a Josh Allen bet yesterday.
Oh, really? A Josh Allen bet?
Mm-hmm.
With whom?
A friend of mine from Denver.
All right.
Todd.
Know
him?
Does that... No, I don't think so. Was he in your wedding?
He was at my wedding.
And I probably met him somewhere in between watching Red Sox Cardinals game four or whatever that was.
Yeah, he was at my wedding.
Game 3.
But he was not in my wedding.
I
was at his.
Okay. Does that go on the board or no?
His was at the Luxor.
That doesn't get to be on the board, really.
Yeah. He's been married twice. His first wedding was at the Luxor. I went to that. That was kind of cool. You ever go to a Vegas wedding?
No.
Kind of cool.
Okay.
Then the reception was upstairs. Right?
Right.
It was like a Vegas wedding chapel kind of place in the Luxor.
Like Elvis impersonator?
There was no Elvis that I remember.
Right.
But it was tight. I mean, it was just kind of cool. Like,
right.
They're getting married in Vegas. All right.
What's your Josh Allen bet with Todd?
Under 6.5 or 7? Under 6.5 touchdown rushes.
Okay.
You know how few quarterbacks in history have rushed for 8 touchdowns in a season? He is one of them.
Yeah.
Now. But it's like a dozen guys or less that have ever done it.
I was going to say less than 10, but okay.
It's about 10.
Okay.
There were a couple guys like in the 40s and 50s that did it.
Yeah.
And then post-merger, you have Bobby Douglas.
Bobby Douglas.
from the Bears in like the early 70s, and you have Newton once or twice, and you have Vic and Cunningham, you know, kind of the obvious names. And you have Josh Allen. And he did it in less than a full season as well.
Yeah.
So we were just in a text chat, and like, I mean, if he rushes for because the other guys, Todd and the other guys are talking about touchdown passes, like what's a good season? And they were talking about completion percentage and touchdown passes. And somebody brought up 25, my friend Tony brought up 25 touchdown passes. And I said, well, that was 13th in the league. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, was, he threw 25 touchdown passes. I think he threw two picks, right? Rodgers?
Wow.
25. Like, that's more than double what Allen had. That's a big jump. It's a good number.
Right.
No doubt that that would qualify as improvement and success.
Yes.
So the conversation was about that, and then it came, and then I think maybe Todd brought up, well, he ran for eight. What if he runs for 10?
So what if he gets to 25 combined? Is like, do you accept that? Is that still progress, or did that come up?
Well, it might have. I mean, I think Todd said touchdowns are touchdowns, and he's right.
Right.
But like, I just historically, this guy, to run for 10 touchdown passes would be incredible if he did that. But it's also, like, if you prorate his rookie year, he'll get there.
Right.
I mean, so I'm just like, no. this is how I think. This is how I bet. No, it's more likely that he does not get to that many touchdown passes. Then he came up with the line, and I said, okay.
Rushes, not passes.
Touchdown rushes, sorry.
Right.
So I'm under 6.5 on that. Hmm. 5 is, like, fine.
Yeah,
it's you can't be needing him to run for 8 touchdown passes to, you know, mean something. You can't need that from him.
I think you're going to lose.
You do?
Yeah, I think you're going to lose.
You think he's going to run for 7 or more touchdowns?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How? Just the same way, I guess?
Just the same way. Just
he's so big, he'll sneaks?
Yeah, like sneaks or even, you know, maybe because they are going to try to throttle him back on just running wildly, scrambling, then I think they will still want to use him second and goal at the 5, like roll out and, okay, it's there, boom, I'm going in, you know, or quarterback draw, like spread it out down close, spread it out at the 10-yard line, and he just up the middle and touchdown, make a couple guys miss, break a tackle. He's big. He's a good runner. Like, yeah, I mean, I think he gets 8, 10 even.
Like 10?
I'm not.
You want this then? You must want this bet then.
Yeah, I like the over there.
Bet.
All right.
Write it down.
Let's put it on the board.
6.5.
Yeah.
Is there any odds? I don't want another one of these things from the other day.
Any odds or anything that I need to be worried about? Okay, no odds.
No, I'm not going to try to talk you up to 7.5 or something because of what you just said.
All right.
Fine, that's the number.
All right.
6.5.
6.5. Over 6.5. All right, fine. 20? 20? Is that good?
20?
Is that,
Joe, that's our standard. We always offer. What do you want here, Joe?
No, I'm not. That line's close. I wouldn't be able to make a decision, I don't think.
You're going to stand down on this.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
All right, let's get it on the board.
I mean, 8 is every other week. And he plays a full season.
He did have 8 last year and only 11 starts.
I know. Like I said, he's one of the very few quarterbacks to ever get to that number in a season. He did it as a rookie, and he didn't play the full year.
Right.
803-0550. Thoughts welcome. Evan Silva coming up at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Look, I've earned the right with Zeke to joke. Period. I've earned that. But let me be real clear about it. I've earned that right to joke. I have never equivocated on Zeke's the quality of player he is and his importance to us. But the team takes precedent, and that is my judgment.
Jerry Jones, do you think you can guess his age within 2 years? I'd like to think I could.
Yeah?
Within 2 years? I'd like to guess it and see if I can get it within 2. I feel like that's a correct answer.
Okay.
Within 2.
All right. I don't know.
What do you think here?
73.
Older. Give me 78.
He is 76.
Ding. It's like I expected within 2.
Where's the bell? Ring a bell.
I should have gone 77 because I think I would have heard if he had turned 80. So 80 would have been. Yeah. I didn't want to. I shouldn't have included 80.
Yeah.
77 is the guess I wanted. There's a report today. Ed Werder is saying that the Cowboys have made Elliott an offer that would make him the second highest paid running back, which would mean higher than Bell but below Gurley.
Right.
And so does he really, like, if that's accurate, does he really not take that?
I mean, I don't know.
What's he going for? What's he?
Highest paid running back in football. I'm the best. I should be paid like the best. That's it.
He's not even the best. You know who the best is? Barkley's the best. Okay. Elliott's one of the best.
Good luck to him.
Barkley's the best.
No.
Barkley was the best when he walked in. Right? That's the thing. These guys really should get their biggest money right away.
Because probably get their biggest money when they're playing in college, for God's sake.
I think they do. I think Barkley made more at Penn State than he made last year.
So I don't know. Yeah, look, if you're one of the group of guys that is thought to be at the top, I mean, you can quibble about which ones. When your contract's up, that's how it works. His contract's not up, though.
No.
That's the thing. He's not a free agent. And that's, I don't know, man. These running backs, I could be all over the road on this. But at the core, I feel more sympathy than I ever have for any athlete, maybe ever. For running backs right now with how this is going for them. Because if he waits until his contract is up, he's probably right to think he will not get as much as he can get now if he is a jerk. So he's got to be a jerk. He's got to stay away and look like he's being selfish and putting himself ahead of the team and all this stuff that people will accuse him of doing. Because if he waits until his rookie contract is up, he will not get $15 million a year. Because they'll go, well, you've already carried the ball, you know, 1,000 times or more or whatever. And like, I don't know, you're 28. You know, who wants to pay that guy? So you got to stop in the middle of your first contract and go, yeah, hey, I should be paid as much as that guy because I'm awesome.
Look, all sports are doing the same thing. It wasn't that long ago when paying Eichel at the time of his contract would have been seen as crazy. Like, no, you wait until you earn it. You know, the unrestricted free agency is when you get that money. We shouldn't have to pay you that. The Sabres, I think to their credit, moved first. Other hockey teams have done the same thing. It's happened a lot. Baseball. I mean, the Braves just robbed Acuna and Albies because they convinced those players, why don't we just pay you now? You're not making anything now. And in a few years, you might do as well as Bryce Harper hopes to do or something. And that might even happen before he got his contract. Like, they sort of just pushed him. Mm-hmm. Here, we'll pay you. It's not good.
Right.
But it's a lot better than they were doing.
Right. Yeah, the baseball system is kind of messed up. Like, the best young players in baseball, they have to wait. Like, arbitration rights and stuff. Like, they wait a while.
And there are more and more great young players than ever. Like, the new guys coming up and just killing it. It's like every week in baseball this year, there's some new kid who's just great. Aquino from the Reds, Alvarez from Houston. They just keep coming up and like, oh, wow, I guess they don't need 4 years of seasoning. Evan Silva, when we come back. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.